Right. Thank you so much. My name's Ken R. I'm a real alcoholic, the way that term is defined 9 times in the first 164 pages of our big book. And my original sober date was March 28, 1978. I had nearly 28 years of continuous sobriety. And then, much like the man of 30 in chapter 3, more about alcoholism, he retired and out came his carpet slippers and a bottle. And he was dead within 4 years. And that was very nearly my story. I was that close to death. So, by the grace of God, the gift of God, I have a new sober date of January 15 of 2014. And that's what I want to tell you about today. But I want to thank Amy and thank Richard and thank Kate and all of you. This is a fantastic meeting. I mean, who wouldn't like AA just coming and looking in at this meeting? This is fantastic. We are not a glum lot. And this is a dilemma, you know, having 20 minutes to share your experience, strength, and hope. It's like Mark Twain sent a friend of his a 14-page letter. And at the end of it, he said, "I'm sorry this letter is so long, but I didn't have enough time to make it shorter." So that's the dilemma right now. So I'm going to whip through this, but I thank you all for being here and thank you for this honor to serve AA and all of you. So I started out, I was born and raised in the San Fernando Valley, Southern California, in Encino, which was a very rich town. It was just like American Graffiti, if you saw that movie. That was when and how and where I grew up, just like Happy Days. But we were not rich. We lived in Encino, on the edge of Encino, right next to the railroad tracks. So I was under this thing, this dilemma, this fear that I had to measure up. And that people, I needed them to think I was rich and well off too. So I went to a very rich high school, Birmingham High School. Sally Field had gone there, and all the kids had Camaros and Thunderbirds and Firebirds in the parking lot. I had a 51 Chevy, so I would drive it and park 3 blocks away and walk into school every day because I didn't want anyone to see what I drove or where I lived. And I would work at anything and everything I could do. I mowed lawns, I babysat, I had a paper route to make money to buy clothes. So at least in my mind, I thought they would think I'm well off and have money. It was just like that fear was just a knot in my stomach. And much like just about every story you hear in AA, I felt like I didn't fit in, I didn't belong, I was different. And that's very common. I got on the dating game twice. I was on the new on the newlywed game, and I was on the Family Feud. So it all looked great, but there was that knot of fear in my stomach. So I started drinking in high school. It progressed. I got out of high school. I dropped out of 3 colleges. I just didn't belong there, and this knot in my stomach, this knot of fear is what pretty much ruled my life. So I started drinking in high school. I kept drinking. It got worse. I got pulled over 3 times for what in those days in Southern California, what they called a 502. There was no such thing as a DUI or a DWI. And they didn't have breathalyzers back then, or I surely would have been arrested. So I did have to do the field sobriety test where you walk the line and balance on 1 foot and touch your nose. But I passed all 3 times, but I saw the writing on the wall and I knew something was wrong. So I would drink at night by this time I had a wife and 2 kids. And I was drinking at night when they went to sleep, and I had a big legal pad, and I would come up with what I thought, you know, trying to come up with $1 million idea. That's what I wanted to do. I had to get rich. I had to get rich. So I had a big box of my idea box, I called it, and I came up at night with these million-dollar ideas on the legal pad. And the one night in 1978 that was my bottom then, I still remember it. I can still feel it. It was, I drank and drank and drank and drank, and I just could not get any drunker. And my solution, alcohol, had stopped working. And nowadays, I guess they call it a panic attack or an anxiety attack, but that's what I had. And of course, my wife was concerned about my drinking, so I told her about this the next day. Well, she had a girlfriend who had a boyfriend who was in AA, and I didn't know anything about AA really. And she said, "You want me to ask my girlfriend for his phone number?" I said, "Please." So she came back with his phone number. She said, "His name is King, KING. And now, with the blessing of Zoom, I put that out there all over the place because I lost touch with King, and I'd love to get back together with him and thank him for what he did for me." But she said, "This is King's number, and he won't call you, but you can call him." Well, I understood that. He wanted to know if I was serious. So I called him, and I think the next day or the next 2 days, we were out to lunch. And the first thing he did was give me the old-fashioned 20 questions. You can Google this, AA's old-fashioned 20 questions. It's still in the Akron groups. And it was put out by Johns Hopkins Hospital. And the deal is you answer these 20 questions. And at the bottom, it tells you if you answer yes to three or more of these 20 questions, you are definitely an alcoholic. Well, so I took that and I answered yes to 17 of those 20. And I was convinced. Now, I didn't know this then, but I was honest, open-minded, and willing. The three essentials of recovery. I had them. I was ready. And then King explained to me, he says, "But only you can decide if you're an alcoholic. No one can, tell you that you're an alcoholic. You have to know it in your heart and believe it, step one." And I said, "I believe it. I'm ready. What do I need to do?" And I want to tell you this story because I've never heard this since. This was back in 1978. It's not what you drink, how much you drink, or how often you drink. If you're an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic. And he told me about a friend of his who had 9 years in AA at that time. And that man only drank one day a year. Have you ever heard anything like this? One day a year. And that day was New Year's Eve. And every New Year's Eve, he drank and something bad happened. He got in a fight, he got thrown out of a bar, and his final bottom was he was in a horrible automobile wreck and almost died. And that's what got him into AA. And then that's when he knew he was an alcoholic. So, King kind of explained AA a little bit, and then he took me to my first meeting. And my first meeting, I love hearing about people's first meetings. Now, leading up to this, ever since junior high school, I had been what I called myself a spiritual seeker. I had tried all the major spiritual practices that I could find. I did Course in Miracles, Church of Religious Science, Paul Brunton, U.S. Anderson, Unity. I had a list of over 20 of these that I had tried to see if I could straighten myself out and get rich. That's what I would, but I always felt like I wasn't doing it right. So that's why I would move to the next one, and I had this list of about 20. Now, the point of any spiritual practice, like I was studying, is to wake up, to become enlightened, to wake up from this dream state that the world is in. And that's the point of it. Okay, so I kept trying, I kept trying, I kept trying. And then I get to my first AA meeting. It was the Sherman Oaks Women's Club It was at night. It was in a little white wooden building. All these beautiful oak trees over this little wooden building. It looked like a church, actually. And the light was coming through the windows. And King takes me in there. And, I'm a smoker. And the first thing, there was so much smoke in that room, you couldn't even see the back wall. I just loved it. And I loved the people in that meeting. They were just laughing, and it was good, healthy laughter. It wasn't like a cocktail party or any of that nervous stuff. It was just they were looking each other in the eye and laughing, good, healthy laughter. And in fact, there's a line, I didn't know this then, but there's a sentence right after step five in our big book that says, "We can look the world in the eye." And that's what these people were doing. And I loved it. So I look up on the wall and I see the 12 steps. And I'm reading the 12 steps. I get to step 12 and it says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. And it just hit me in the face like, wow. This is what all these spiritual practices I've been trying, they never put it this clearly or this confidently before. And I knew I was home. I knew this was for me. I knew this is what I had been looking for. And in the big book, when Bill tells his story, it's the last time he's at Towns Hospital, and Ebby brings him a book. And it's named in the big book. It's called The Varieties of Religious Experience by William James. And Bill gave, I mean, Ebby gave Bill that book. And what it is, it's a collection of stories or accounts of individuals who woke up, who became enlightened. And this is where the term, awakenings of the religious variety. That's where that came from, rather than a white lightning. Some had white lightning, like Bill, and others of us, we have an awakening of the educational variety. So I knew I was in the right place. So I got my, it was a second edition big book, and King started taking me to meetings. Well, he sent me to meetings, and that's what he said. Now, when you have 6 months under your belt, I'm going to take you to a meeting that'll knock your socks off. It's on the second floor of a bank in Beverly Hills. And I thought, oh, wow, this is like a private AA meeting or a secret AA meeting. There's going to be movie stars there. There's going to be celebrities. This will be fantastic. Well, King disappeared within that 6 months. And I think he went off and started what we call today a halfway house, but that's why I'd love to catch up with him. So anyway, what kept me going for almost those 28 years, I subscribed to five AA Tape of the Month clubs. Now, you kids online here, this is how we used to stream music in my day. So I subscribed to five of these AA Tape of the Month Club. I got five because I'm a good alcoholic. Anything worth doing is worth overdoing. So I listened all those years. I listened to the best of the best in AA on those talks that came monthly. And I went to STAG meetings. I went to STAG meetings in rich areas around me because that's what I wanted to be. Those guys had what I wanted. They had sobriety and they were rich. So I would go to those STAG meetings. Well, anyway, time passes. 2006, I sell my company. Out comes the carpet slippers and the bottle. And I was nearly dead. And at the very end of my drinking, I was drinking Everclear in coffee around the clock. I would drink till I passed out. Then I would come to and I had to drink. I was at that jumping off place. So a family, an old AA friend actually found me a bed in rehab in Dallas, Texas. I went there, and before I got out of there, I knew I had to have a sponsor. So I had the guy in charge of IOP, which I had never heard of. And he reached out to a friend of his in Alabama. By that time, I was down here near Mobile, Alabama, on the bay. And he reached out. And, sight unseen, he found a guy named Eddie. And Eddie is on here with us tonight. Eddie saved my life. And he reached Eddie. I said, I got to have a sponsor by the time I fly back to Mobile because I don't trust myself. So I'm talking to Eddie. I said, I got to have it right out of the big book, Eddie. And I told him, a little bit of my story. And I said, I don't want any Joe and Charlie forms. I don't want any Hazelden forms. I want it right out of the big book. And he said, well, that's the way I learned it. And that's the way I pass it on to you. So Eddie and I got together. We got busy. And when I told him my whole story, he said, you know what, Ken? You just fell through the cracks of AA. And I thought about it and I said, you know, Eddie, you're right. I fell through the cracks of AA. And at that moment, a light bulb went off and I knew my mission by this gr the grace of God and this gift that he gave me to get sober again, because it didn't look like it, to the world. I was nearly dead. That's my mission, is to never let anyone slip through the cracks of AA. And he taught me two things. The first two things he taught me was read 86 to 88 every morning. Read it every morning. It says on awakening. So every day you wake up, you read 86 to 88. And then at the end, it says we alcoholics are undisciplined. And so I've been calling Eddie every day, almost every day, for since 2014. And then he said, I'm going to tell you how to never go to a bad meeting. And that is go to a meeting with what you can bring to the meeting, what you can give to the meeting, not what you're going to get out of the meeting. So I am on it, and I love what you folks do. It's all based on the newcomer, but I got to tell you, at the end of 86, it says, we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in this simple way. And then it says, and there was work, there's work and more work to be done. Faith without works is dead. This program is all about action. Action, working with others. On 97, it says, helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. So if you've got 6 days sober, you can help somebody with 5 days sober. I don't mean be their sponsor, I mean be their wingman. Help them out. Take them to a, get them involved in a big book study. Help them find a sponsor. But we are
2 minutes,
losing
Ken.
so, thank you. We are losing so many people who are falling through the cracks in this beautiful program. And each and every one of us has a responsibility to help them. You know, Bill says in the big book, the age of miracles is still with us. Your own recovery proves it. Each of us here is a miracle, and we have a miracle to save, to share with somebody else. Even if you have 6 days, how do you have 6 days? You couldn't stay sober on your own. So how do you explain that? You can tell somebody that and get them involved. We got to take action. So my time's almost up, but I want to thank you again. I know I'll see a lot of you along the broad highway. And I want to close with a quote I learned from William Blake recently. He said, I sought my soul, and my soul I could not see. I sought my God, and my God eluded me. I sought my brother, and I found all three. God bless you, and God bless AA.